Part 2, Religion and the Other Side, More Questions, More Answers. You might think that a Lutheran, Episcopalian, Jewish, Catholic girl had to turn her back on a lot of her religious training to reach a point of absolute certainty about reincarnation and the other side. But it wasn't a process of turning my back at all. It was a process of embracing and studying and exhaustively researching, and as a result, continuing to grow spiritually to the point where my relationship with God is the unshakable, impenetrable foundation on which everything else in my life is built. In college, I decided I might as well get credit for pursuing my passion, so I chose to minor in theology and world religion. I've always been an insatiable reader, and I now had a perfect excuse to read every religious and spiritual book I could get my hands on. I devoured everything from Harold Bloom's The Book of J to Lane Pagel's series on the Gnostic Gospels to my heroine Eileen Garrett's work, starting with Many Voices, the autobiography of a medium, to Carl Jung, to Joseph Campbell, to Edgar Cayce, to the teachings of Buddha and Mohammed, to the Tantrics, to the Egyptian Book of the Dead, to the Bhagavad Gita, to the Theosophical Society, to the Shinto, to the Rosicrucians, to the Talmud and the Quran. I studied the life of Apollonius of Tyrania, a Greek spiritual healer and teacher who was a contemporary of Christ. I learned everything I could about the Essenes or Gnostics, on whom the Catholics and many Protestant denominations base so much of their tenets. I brainstormed with priests, yogis, Tibetan monks, nuns, ministers, rabbis, and Zen masters. I tranced Francine and listened to countless tapes of her lectures on God, theology, and the other side. I promised myself every step of the way not to be too quick to accept or reject any ideology, and to keep going until my confusion gave way to common sense and logic. One of my most eye-opening discoveries was that most of the world's great religions, including Christianity, until it was reconstructed by Pope Constantine in the 6th century, accepted the truth of reincarnation and the internal cycles of the soul between this world and the other side. If that was true, there must be reference to it in the Bible. Assuming Pope Constantine couldn't control every single copy of every single translation and get rid of everything he didn't personally happen to agree with. Based on that assumption, I became an eager student of the Bible, all 26 versions of it. My favorite, perhaps, being Lompse's magnificent translation from its original Aramaic. It's an understatement to say that it changed my life, and that the more I studied, the simpler and less confusing my religious and spiritual beliefs became. Sure enough, it is human beings and their subjective interpretations of God, and not God himself, who caused so much head-scratching among us. I was delighted to find that even in translations of the Bible, written after Pope Constantine, 5 or 6 references to reincarnation and our cycles from here to the other side managed to remain intact. Just one example is Matthew chapter 17. Jesus was talking to Peter, James, and John and said, "Elijah does come, and he is to restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they pleased." Verse 13 reads, "Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist." Now we know that in one of his other incarnations, Elijah was very widely recognized as being Elijah. So obviously, if a time came when they did not know him, it was in a different incarnation, which the disciples understood to be John the Baptist, who was beheaded by King Herod, which is about as clear an example of "did to him whatever they please" as you could ask for. These quotes are from the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, long after Pope Constantine decided to exclude the concept of reincarnation from Christianity. Once again, as it always does sooner or later, the truth survived. At any rate, at the end, I promised to keep searching for answers that made good, common, logical sense. And while I have the joy of knowing that I will never run out of questions, I found those answers. It took decades of constant study of God and the other side, as they're interpreted by the many beautiful religions of the world. It took decades of readings, with an average of 140 clients a week, and the spirits around them who were eager to talk. My way of condensing, expressing, and celebrating everything I learned through all of that was to found my own church, Nova Spiritus, or New Spirit. Nova Spiritus doesn't exclude, it includes, with a very simple principle at its heart. We are all created and unconditionally loved by God, His genetic heirs who are equal in His eyes. There is a mother god, Asna, who is a female, emotional aspect of the deity, just as a father god is a male, intellectual aspect. The mother god is not some knee-jerk invention of the feminist movement of the 1970s. She has been recognized and revered for more than 2,500 years. Throughout our tour of the other side, I'll be using masculine pronouns like he and him to refer to God, but only because I find the constant use of he, she, and him, her as annoying to write as it is to hear. But the truth is, the mother god Asna and the father god make up the Godhead together. God is not mean, unkind, and judgmental ever. Those qualities, like evil itself, are strictly human devices, and they are not the result of God turning away from us, which He never does, but of our turning away from Him. The answer to questions like, how could a loving God be cruel to someone who doesn't deserve it? Or, how could He let this innocent baby or this wonderful person die too soon? Is very simple. He couldn't. We each compose a detailed chart of our upcoming lifetime on the other side, before we're born. Everything we experience here on Earth, including our hardships and our time of death, are ultimately of our choosing, not His. We are at our most alive on the other side. Our brief trips to this dimension called Earth, our decision we make, for the purpose of experiencing and overcoming negativity on our road toward perfecting our spirits for God. Our spirit remembers every birth, death, life on earth and life on the other side we've been through, and every new lifetime is deeply affected by those memories, whether we're consciously aware of them or not. It is not necessary that you share all of these beliefs as we take the guided tour of the other side together that follows. What do you think? Is as important as any other question in this audiobook. All I ask is that you keep your mind and heart open and pay attention to any detail that rings some quiet, comforting bell in your soul. I promise you're not imagining things. You're just remembering and yearning for the exquisite joy and beauty of home.